Hi, folks. Before we get started, we'd like to take a moment to let you know some of the content on this podcast may not be suitable for some audiences. It's all in good fun, but we just wanted to let you know. So enjoy, have a great time, and on with the show.
Previously on the Jay and Dan podcast.
Patrick, by the way, is in Charlotte yeah. for the All-Star race.
Yeah, I think he All-Star arrived race. 2 weeks before the actual race. Patrick, great to see you're still alive. People thought you were dead. We thought you were dead. So the event was on a Saturday.
Oh, here
you went out 3 weeks before it started? So you went out, so a week and a half before. Let's go racing.
Right, Mike is handling the drops today.
Yeah, due to Patrick's death. So a week and a half before. You arrived 2 weeks before the actual race. 3 weeks before it started?
Didn't he?
Wow, well, Patrick. Hope you're doing well in heaven, bud.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's the summer of Dan.
Oh, are we having a drop there?
Tiesto.
Yes! Summer of Dan!
Is that the intro?
Yeah.
Oh. I was waiting for a... You didn't do...
Your line.
Oh! Dance! Sorry. I forgot to do that. Dance!
The Jay and Dan podcast is back. Episode 70. We've been off for a bit. For very good reasons, Jay Onright is a father. Ah. He had to welcome a little baby in the world.
I shot my load. I shot my load. It fertilized her oval. Then it created a child.
In one night?
Well, it seemed that way. Because I left here. We had taped the podcast on the Wednesday that night. I got home. Normally, I get home. I have one, two, let's be honest, on average, three large Japanese whiskeys neat.
Perfect.
I'm not going anywhere.
No.
I like to sleep comfortably.
in a self-medicated haze.
At that particular night, we were 2 weeks away from the due date, and I said, you know what? Maybe I better lay off the booze because you never know. Starting tonight, I said, I'm going to lay off the booze, babe, because... I want to have all my faculties ready if I got to drive to the hospital.
Right after these five drinks.
Right after.
All aboard.
So I laid off that night. Okay, I'm not kidding you. I fell asleep at 1:45 a.m. 2:45 a.m. She wakes me up. My water broke. Let's go. I'm like, Jesus, good thing I didn't quaff Japanese whiskey tonight.
Not to interrupt the story, but the drive to the hospital, is that the most nerve-wracking drive on Earth or what?
It really wasn't because our hospital in Santa Monica is like 5 minutes from our house.
I know, but you're thinking of the movie. You're thinking, okay, I got to get there quick, but you're like, I got to be safe.
There's no one on the road. There was no one there. It was like the whole town was to myself. The only people out was Patrick and all his buddies getting out of JP's sports pub. And producer Tim on the corner crushing darts.
Did you pick them all up on the way to the hospital?
Come on in, boys. And then producer Tim just crushing a big dart.
So there was no panic.
No panic.
On the way to the hospital.
Yeah,
because
you're right. You know, you think of all the sitcoms when you were growing up and the dad was panicked and frazzled, and they'd forget the bag.
You forget the wife. You're just driving.
Oh, yeah, drive. All right, I've got everything. Here we go.
Well, there's Jay Onright and his wife checking out the action.
So we made it there, and man, it was great. I had a great time.
But you had the experience that a lot of first-time parents have. You were up probably for about 30 hours.
Yeah, I was up for...
Off the hop, you're already behind the eight ball.
30 hours straight because you're waiting for her vagina to dilate, right? That you're waiting for the giant opening to happen in her vagina so a baby can slide
through. Sure, she loves this conversation.
Yeah, no, she gets it. I mean, she knows. So you're waiting for that. But then when it happened, Toolsy, this is the amazing thing, and I didn't realize this, like... The obstetrician the OB, she doesn't show up till the very end.
What did you expect?
Like, she doesn't get there till the last second, and she takes all the glory.
You're an errand boy.
So she's the closer.
She's the closer.
She's the Tom Hankey.
But for 2.5 hours while my wife was pushing, I was in the jungle, man. I was in there.
And then I realized they were stronger than me.
Like, I'm the nurse. It's me and a nurse. And she's like,
are you making small talk?
Yeah. And she's like, all right, you take one leg, I'll take the other. Spread them apart. Let's start pushing.
And I thought, my God, the genius of that.
I mean, it was unbelievable. And then it was like the crowning scene in Knocked Up. Like, I'm seeing the baby's head come out.
So I wanted to tear my teeth out. I didn't know what I wanted to do.
When the doc comes in, does she have, like, entrance music?
Pretty much. Well, this is the thing. So we're going. We're pushing and pushing. And I'm saying to my wife, and she had an epidural, by the way. By the way, my wife is like Keith Richards in the mid-70s when they were making Exile on Main Street. They give her that epidural. They're like, do you feel euphoria? She's like, I don't feel anything. I'm like, you feel nothing? Can I have some of that?
Are my methods unsound?
So we're pushing for 2 hours. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, ballbuster OB comes in with about 20 nurses, and they're like, all right, let's go. And she literally rips the kid out of her vagina.
And then just leaves it hanging.
Yeah,
there.
Just like hanging.
Hey, I'm out of here.
Like there, boom, and drops it, like drops the mic. I'm like, you should pick the kid up.
And I want to remember it. I never want to forget it.
And then I got to cut the cord. Oh, that was cool. Squiggly little cord. You cut it?
I found the scissors weren't very sharp.
No, I got right in there, cut it, but then I had to cut it again. You had to cut it shorter, right? You know what I'm saying?
What'd you do with the placenta?
We didn't turn it into... Everyone's like, so you're going to have it turned into pills that you guys are going to ingest, right? I'm like, no.
I thought you fry it up for breakfast.
That's disgusting.
Give him a box of Twinkies, and this guy's ready to roll.
They want you to freeze dry and turn it into pills.
Hey. Talk about your just desserts.
By the way, when that kid came out... Like, the right? Because the cone head, right? The head's soft.
Oh, yeah.
So that kid comes out and looked like Dan Aykroyd in the Coneheads movie.
I always picture or imagine what that first breath must be like for a baby because they've never had oxygen in their lungs.
This is my first time
here. It's got to be... If they could think, they must be like, what the f*** is going on?
Exactly. They're in this warm...
They're like, whoa!
Yeah. They're like, what the f***? Bright lights!
These kids have problems, folks.
That's why they cry. First thing you do is cry.
Mike Botticello, OBGYN.
And they PhD. They don't do the slap on the bum to make them cry anymore, do they?
No, that didn't happen. It was just nurses, here's a tip for all you new dads out there. And my buddy told me this is true. You get cupcakes delivered to the nursing station.
Oh, yeah, coffee and donuts and cupcakes.
Yeah, I had a bunch of cupcakes delivered, and all of a sudden, nurses all over doting on my wife, doting on her. Are you okay? Everything okay?
They do fine bacon. Oh, I guess I'll have one.
I've been working for 12 hours. Give me cupcakes.
Great job by the nurses at the Santa Monica.
So did they leave the baby coated in the fluid? Because that's what the big thing now. You don't give it a bath for like 12 hours.
No, that's not true. They took her right.
I guess things are different in Oshawa.
We don't have water. We're not going to wash her off. We're conserving water.
I still haven't bathed my kids. They said no. Let them soak in their own mess.
Shouldn't you clean that child off? No, it's fine. We're from Oshawa. We do things differently here.
My kids, their first birthday party, they still have placenta in their hand.
They're like, help me. They're like talking to people who came to their party like, get me out of here. Please. I haven't bathed since I was ripped out of my mom's vagina.
You sure are cute, kid.
Wow.
Anyway, the kid's great.
Well, that's great. It's good to be back. I'm glad you came back because I was getting a bit tired. Because we take the same time off.
Yeah.
So I decided to turn it into the Summer of George. Peter Schrager called me on the Thursday. He said, you're off, right? I said, yep. Jay's having his baby. He's like, there's a game 7 in New York on Friday. Why don't you come? I'm like, okay, I'll look into it. That went nowhere. And then I pitched it to work. I said, you know what? There's back-to-back game 7s. I should go to both. And they're like, okay, do it. So I went to game 7 at MSG. Amazing rink. Went to game 7 back here in Anaheim. That was amazing. Flew out to a buddy's wedding in Toronto.
No, hold on, hold on. Before we get
Summer of Dan.
Before we get to the wedding in Peterborough.
Yeah.
You say you pitched it to work. Yeah. What do you mean exactly by
that? I said
that?
A good social media thing. I'll take a GoPro with me. It's something I had never used before, so
it's the Summer of Dan.
Fox Sports Live, they sent me, and this podcast is brought to you by Fox Sports.
Yeah, that's the that's the show we host on Fox Sports 1.
The
new graphics, by the way.
The GoPro was delivered to me. Again, I've never seen one of these, never touched it. The GoPro was delivered to me in a takeout bag. with a one cord, one cord and the GoPro. There's not a manual, so I had to go on the YouTubes to see how to use it.
Right.
And I quickly discovered...
First thing that you need to know is that the internet is amazing.
The GoPro battery life's not so great. But anyway.
So did you strap it to your head or your nuts?
There was nothing to strap it to. I just carried it around. So I met up with Schrager. Schrager, by the way, is like the mayor of New York.
Yeah, everyone
he's walking
knows.
Around like, Pete!
He's like Giuliani.
Walking in every place. They're like, Pete, you're a regular table? It was great. So yeah, we GoPro'd it, and Pete took me out on the town in New York, and we had a
rip-roaring
fun time.
Let's go back. So you pitched a GoPro story.
Yeah.
And so how did the story turn out? It was you did a bunch of stand-ups, you interviewed fans, you got the atmosphere of both buildings.
Turns out the mic didn't work that well. There was a lot of Pete and I talking.
Uh-huh. So can our podcast listeners see this story online?
Sure. Is it online?
What's a webpage?
No, it's not.
Why?
They didn't put it online.
Oh, we can't post the hockey footage from the social media stuff that we, I think, leaned on for the piece.
Well, now, Patrick, when you say leaned on, approximately from a percentage perspective, how much would you say was actually used of Dan's GoPro footage?
Oh, 90% of the piece. 90.
You know when you build like a pillow fort in your house and you have one thing that's holding the whole thing up? That's how we leaned on the social media footage.
It was a fun time, though.
Do you feel now a bit more sympathy for what Patrick does out on the field? Maybe you won't be quite so hard on him when he arrives at Charlotte a week ahead of time.
He knows how to use the devices. Do you use a GoPro?
But shouldn't you have known how to use it
Here's the thing. The GoPro didn't even have a viewfinder. So I'm shooting. I'm like, I guess this is getting in the shot. I can't go
That's
back.
That's why you should have had it on strapped to your head.
And you can't go back to see what you shot unless you have a computer with you or a phone that is compatible. So I shot a lot of things on my BlackBerry Passport. I brought it into work. I said, here, you guys can dump all this off here. Not a single person in the building.
Did you edit? Were you sitting in the edit bay as they cut it all together?
Not a single person in the building could figure out how to get video off a BlackBerry Passport.
Oh, what a scam. I love it. So is this going to be a regular thing? By the way, you're going to be going to all the game 7s.
Yes. Damn.
The script was written for me, and it said, if there's a game 7 in the Stanley Cup final, I'll be there. So it was said in the piece that I will be there.
Wait, so you didn't even write your own script?
No.
If you go, can I come along to help with the technology?
Yes.
Oh, here we go.
And we've got to bring Schrager.
I wouldn't go without him.
Oh, wow. You know, you could use the GoPro in a pool. You could do some awesome stuff in the swimming pool in Vegas with the GoPro.
Oh, that's great. When they're cleaning it.
Great.
No.
Yeah.
Great. With all those syringes.
Yeah, all that.
Bags of cocaine.
It'd be great. It'd be great.
Used condoms are being swept out of the pool. By the way, speaking of used condoms, Shannon Tweed on the Wall of Fame this week. What?
Whoa. No. Shannon Tweed.
Yeah.
Let's get that music back.
Can we run through her credits? She was born in Newfoundland, and then she moved to Saskatoon. So here's her. You might remember her from such movies as Hot Dog, the movie. the
That was
surrogate.
Like highbrow for her.
Where is the banana hot dog? She wasn't in Meatballs 1 or 2, but she was in Meatballs 3.
She's like the Rock. She came in to save the franchise.
That's on a spice of meatball.
Steel Justice?
Now, she ended up becoming the queen of the sort of like movie you'd see on Friday night on Skinamax. Right,
where like, she played this like sounds a like cop. One of these. Oh, Cannibal it. Woman in the Avocado Jungle of Death.
Okay, that's not exactly what
who
I was
funds that
about.
Movie?
You know who funds it, Dan? Cocaine.
The Naked Truth. The Naked Truth.
Yeah.
Night Eyes 2.
Yeah.
Sexual Response.
Yeah, this is the kind of stuff she did. So she played like a cop, and then she'd be partnering up with a new guy, and they'd be like, there'd be tension, and then they just f***.
Night Eyes 3, Indecent Behavior, A Woman Scorned, Night Fart. Oh, she's been in a lot
of
movies.
She did a ton of films.
White Cargo.
I put a quotation around films.
Whoa, Bimbo Bash Movie.
That sounds hot.
Seen that.
Forbidden Sins.
Breasts.
The Rowdy Girls.
The answer is breasts, by the way.
And her last movie was 2001, Dead Sexy.
Yeah, she's done with that. Now she's on Gene Simmons' Family Jewel. She's married to Kiss bassist Gene Simmons.
Yeah. So,
and they have surprisingly, like, have you ever watched that show? And Jim, I don't. Have you hung around with Gene, done anything with Gene?
I've actually been to a Deja Vu strip club with Shannon and Gene.
Unbelievable.
And
unbelievable.
Thank you. Thank you.
We this
want
is
you
nice.
To enjoy
just
the show.
A little bit of fun.
And a little bit of fun. Was Shannon giving lap dance?
That'll make Jane.
She's having a good time.
They pop up to Canada for like a CFL game every year, don't they? They always see him. Always see him on the sidelines.
They went to a game at BC Place, and I remember they went to a Saskatoon Blades game. I think as a family, this is the thing that amazes me about that show, Gene Simmons' Family Jewels. The children are almost too normal. They're like so nice and normal and well adjusted, like they're not. And I guess I just assumed they would be.
Oh, and here's the other thing. So on my way out of Ontario after going to my buddy's wedding, went to see my Toronto Blue Jays, and sitting in front of me were two nice women. And I said, by the way, are those BlackBerry passports in your hands? They said, yes, thank you. We were the first three people to ever have three BlackBerry passports within the same vicinity in the history of the phone, because we had never seen anyone with one in their hand.
Did these women have oxygen tanks with them? Were they over 90 or over 95?
They did reveal to me that work gave them to them, so they're stuck with them. So
that's, might be the only three you'll ever
see
it. Again.
Yeah. That's right. I should have taken a picture.
Our guest is here, so I think we should bring him right in.
Oh, my God.
Get right to it. This is exciting for us, Dan, because now I feel terrible. When we were supposed to do the podcast 2 weeks ago, we had to cancel it because this kid came. The guest was supposed to be Brian Scalabrine. And Scal, luckily enough, still here, still willing and ready to be on the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, former NBA legend, the White Mamba himself.
Yeah.
Mamba!
Brian Scalabrine is here. Wow. Shorts, a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You're in the middle. Did you just get a haircut?
Yeah. Looking good. How are you, my friend? Good to see ya. Good to see ya. Brian right. Scalabrine.
Interview. What's the guy's name from the interview?
Oh, what happened?
When I was listening to him, I thought he was the guy from the interview.
Seth Rogen?
Seth Rogen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We might have to do a comparison.
You had
right there.
Seth Rogen is on the Canadian Wall.
There's his back hair right there.
That's it. That's who I mean, from back there, you sound like him.
All right, cool.
How are you, buddy?
Life is good.
What? So, this is how you show up to work just like us?
Yeah, I don't know the idea. Like, you know, like as an athlete, we wear sweats, shorts, whatever we want. Yeah. I know I come in sweats all the time. No one told me about a dress code. Do you guys show up to work like this?
No. Oh, no.
You guys come in like...
We're usually wearing the same thing on the podcast. We've got to shoot something right after.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, very important.
So speaking of a dress code, remember the NBA instituted a dress code?
That's
have they abandoned
question.
That?
No. All the brothers became nerds. That's what happened.
Russell Westbrook like was an influence
on
everyone.
Yeah, I mean, when they first started out, we had T-shirts below the knees. We had throwback jerseys. We had baggy pants. And then the dress code coincided with everyone wanting to be a nerd. So it all worked out fine.
Right. Everyone's a hipster now in the NBA.
Yeah, even in the NBA. I mean, there are some exceptions like with the long shirts, but those are exceptions.
Can I start off by asking you about a story that I know you've told before, but you haven't told it on this podcast, involving a former teammate of yours with your 2008 champion Boston Celtics, Kevin Garnett, the arm wrestling story.
Oh, great story. So for whatever reason, by the way, that team in general was sort of insane. Like, and as a group, we were just...
Let's just go through some of the... Like, Paul Pierce. Seems like he would be normal, but seems like might be
no,
a little...
No, but everyone had an edge of insanity to them.
Garnett with the most.
No, Tony Allen with the most, right? Okay, yeah. But, you know, you have guys like Rondo and Pierce and Ray Allen. They're all in their way, and me and Leon Poe and Big Baby, Glenn Davis and Garnett. Well, so whoever started it, I don't know how it happened. We also had, boxing matches as well, but this is the arm wrestling. So who arm wrestles who? And Big Baby, you know, long story short, without going through all the arm wrestling contests, Big Baby is basically crushing everybody.
And where's this taking place? Is this on a team plane?
No, this is hotel.
Right.
At dinner.
Right.
You know.
So it's happening over the course of several days.
Yeah, it's like a week's time, right?
Is there money being laid on these arm wrestling?
I'm sure there is, you know, but no one's laying money on me. But at the end of the day, Big Baby was when I say he was crushing people, there's an arm wrestle where you put him down, but there's those type of arm wrestles.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. This guy is, but he's a great athlete. Great feet, huge, strong, whatever. Anyways, this is going on for a week and it's died down. Like, Big Baby has crushed everybody. We're done. All of a sudden, Garnett's like, yeah, let's go, Funk. Let's go. Let's go with the arm wrestling contest. And we're like, oh my gosh. KG's going down. This is it. This is Garnett is going to lose. There is no one on the plane except Paul Pierce, who I guess laid money on Garnett, but no one thought Garnett was going to win this contest. So they get down and they start going. All right, ready, set, go. And at this point, we're thinking Garnett's going down, Baby's going to win. It's going to be crazy. But Garnett doesn't move. He's like, I ain't moving, Funk. And then all of a sudden, he's got this rhythm going. He's got this rhythm. And then as he starts to go, everyone starts getting going nuts. KG is sweating. Big Baby sweating. And we're all on the plane. This is on the plane, 35,000 feet up. And we're all in the middle. We're all trying to watch this arm wrestling contest. And KG just wills it and slams him down. And at that point, the place goes nuts. Garnett stands up. Now he's wearing, you know, I guess you call them wife beater tank tops, you know, like tight ones, right? He's like, I'm the alpha male in this motherfucker. I'm the silverback gorilla. Don't y'all ever forget it. Spitting all over the place. Flexing. I mean, full. If I would have poured that water on me, it would be more, there'd be more sweat than the water. It was insane. It was insane. But we went nuts because we thought there's no way Garnett's going to beat Baby, but that's his will, his determination. That's the way he was. He wasn't supposed to win. You know, the anything is possible is really his true calling in life.
Is he the most intense human you've ever met?
Yeah, no question.
because I hear he showed up in Minnesota and he'd be the first in the gym. Guys would show up and he's like, "What the hell are you showing up this late for?"
Yeah,
so he's the perfect thing for that team.
Yeah, I mean, but he rose the level of the environment. So if he's doing that, then Pierce shows up and Allen and these guys, those three, the big three, always try to outdo each other in the work. Pierce worked on his game. Ray Allen be on the treadmill 5 miles on the game. Garnett be in before, after, back in the weight room, getting the shots. Like, those guys just always rose the level of each other. It's not like when we watch now, LeBron is the dog, right? He's the guy. Pierce believes he's the dog. Like, Garnett believed he's the dog. Ray Allen believed he was the best player.
Right.
So they all tried to outdo each other. And that's what you can say, a little crazy environment. That's a good environment to be in when you're trying to win a championship.
And then you also – another guy I want to ask you about, and I think you might have a story about this guy. One of my favorite players ever, Rasheed Wallace, who, speaking of intense, I mean, the guy – he was a little off, obviously, right? I mean, he was a little
but
crazy.
Great teammate.
Really?
Great. Yeah. Cared about all of his guys. The thing that was a shock to us, when Rasheed signed with us – after 2009, Garnett, you know, he had the injury. We went far, but then we signed Rasheed Wallace. I mean, I'm thinking, this is a lock. We're going to win a championship in 2010. We have Rasheed Wallace on our team. In that training camp, this is something we never seen before. Rasheed Wallace destroyed Garnett in the scrimmages. I mean, step back jumper, boom. Right hand hook, left hand hook. Then pick and pop, knocks down a three. Then goes inside, up and under. And it was like, is this really happening? Garnett's one of the, you know, he won Defensive Player of the Year in 08. He didn't play in 09 because of the knee injury. But we're thinking Garnett's one of the best defensive players in the league, maybe all time, and he's getting cooked by Rashid. And that was shocking to us. And at that point, I thought we were for sure going to win a championship. That year, we actually just won 50 games, were a four seed, and sort of squeaked in. But once we made it to the playoffs, that's when Rashid Wallace really took his game to a new level. And I think he's probably the most talented power forward I've ever played with, just not the best. I mean, Garnett's probably the best, but he's definitely the most talented.
Did your status wherever you played kind of not affect teammates, but it bothered them? Because you were kind of like a cult figure.
No, they loved
it. They did.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Like, it's like a it takes the pressure off them, like community events. Like, people wanted me. It was like, can we get Garnett? Can we get Ray Allen? Well, can we get Scalabrine? Yeah. So I took a lot of pressure, like, by doing those type of things and media. And, you know, when you're a superstar, I mean, the requests come in all the time. I was, for a 15th or 12th man or whatever I was, that was a solid request for media. They would be like, right. Yeah, we'll take Scalabrine. That's pretty good for us. Like, it's going to drive more traffic than a KG interview. So – let's get him. So a lot of people really, like, embraced it. And I was like, I knew exactly who I was. I wasn't trying to fake my way through and saying, like, I'm better than what people think. I know. I am what I am. You know, in my mind, I know that there's times where I can help teams win games. But I am who I am. And I just embraced it. I think people like that and teammates like that, everyone was cool with
that. Must have felt amazing, though, when you take off the sweats and the crowd sees you getting up and they start to get excited, you know, when you enter the game.
At first, it was hard because I no one wants to be that guy.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, forget that, man. This is really paying off. This is working for me. So, like, I would go in the game and be like, I got to get a bucket for these people, man. They wanted it. So, no, I mean, if it's just anything. Like, you embrace that role, you embrace the role, you do it. And did it feel good when I did score? After a while, then I started knowing that all my buckets were on SportsCenter. It was like a common thing. Like, and then I would make a joke like, hey, man, fourth quarter, late game, crowd going crazy. You know they want me to shoot it, which is true. I'm not lying. Yeah. It's true.
And then you went to Chicago. The whole situation in Chicago, described that. You played with Rose a little bit. Like, who is the best player you played with, period? Who is?
You know, that's interesting because I believe that the best player I played with at the time was Jason Kidd.
Right.
Like, so during the years when I played with him, he was going through his MVP type of – he should have won MVP one of those years in New Jersey, those first 2 years. But, you know, I thought that – Derrick Rose would have been the greatest player, end up being the greatest player. That year he happened to win MVP, but then, you know, injuries happen. But then you can say, you know, like Garnett will go down maybe, you know, higher rank than Paul Pierce. So at the time, and I still will say that I think that Jason Kidd, what he was able to do, dominate a game outside of scoring the ball, and the way he made me so much better than I really was, and not just me. Go down the list of his career. He did it for everybody. I think he's the best player that I ever played with during that season. He just won't go down as one of the greatest players I played with.
And then you go to Italy for a very brief time,
just for the lockout.
In my mind, I'm thinking, Scalabrine, they're going to love you over
and
there.
And they did. So, you guys know about this song?
No.
So, oh, Scalabrine, Cavarossi, Bideman. So, like, I don't know what that means, right? I'm just playing, right? So, I'm playing, they're doing the song, and I'm like, yeah, all right. So, you know, like, I'm not the thinnest guy, and I've never been, but it's just, you know, it's like body type. Hey, we all have – some people are like that. And so I was like, what does Cavarossi Bideman? And it basically means Scalabrine, the redhead man with the beer in his hand. And I'm like, where'd they get that from? You know, you look kind of like you drink beer.
But I thought, like, in my mind, I'm thinking, you could have been over there for 10 years if you wanted to live. Did you ever –
family.
Why didn't you?
Family. Yeah. I had a great, like, I knew I wanted to do this. I knew I wanted to call games for the Celtics. I didn't know I was going to be sitting here with Jay and Dan.
Yeah.
But I knew I wanted to get into the media. And, you know, Celtics, they have an opportunity. Tommy Heinsohn's old. So I have an opportunity to get in there and learn the ropes from a guy like that.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to pass up on that opportunity. And I didn't want to take my family back over there. They didn't really enjoy it. I enjoyed the basketball, but the social thing, it's really hard to get used to that lifestyle over there, especially when you played all those years in the NBA.
Right. And you tried coaching last year. Do you want to get back to that eventually?
No, not right. Eventually, yes.
Eventually, yeah.
I think there's one job that I would take. I would be interested in the USC Trojan job just because I went there.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy college basketball. I think the imperfection of it is better. You know, the NBA is like guys usually they're so good and they move the ball and they knock down. I think developing kids, helping them understand what it takes, I think that would be interesting. But as of right now, my kids are 2, 6, and 8. It's not a great time to do coaching. You know, right. I want to live a balanced life.
I want to talk to you about Golden State. So you're there. You're on the bench with this team. Mark Jackson's coaching the team. I know you guys didn't totally see eye to eye completely. Now Steve Kerr's like, what changed from last year to this year? Is it just Kerr showing up and being a different atmosphere?
Yeah, I mean, they're both the same defensively. I mean, we were good defensively last year. They're good defensively this year. Insert Draymond Green. They become the number one team. Last year, we were a third best defense. But our offense was just very stagnant for a team that has all this shooting. It's not hard to watch the Spurs and say, man, the Spurs are great. What do they do? Oh, wow, they pass the ball 359 times a game. We're passing the ball, I think, 239. Right. So 120 more passes, of course they're better. Yet I think we have a better team. I think we have better shooting. I think we have, you know, like guys that are more versatile. So Draymond Green, to me, was better than Boris Diaw. So, you know, like the stagnant offense, I think Steve Kerr came in and said, listen, I want to move the ball. None of this dribble down and jack up shots anymore, even though they're doing that more. By the way, game two of the NBA Finals, 250 passes. They're back to that. Yep. So I think that he just preaches, hey, guy came from the triangle. He came from Popovich, both guys that believe in the pass and believe in team and ball movement. I think by doing that, that's why they're better this year. That's it.
Steph Curry, there's legends about him in practice shooting like 100 threes and hitting like 90. Aside, first off, what's it like watching him in practice? And is there another player where you could actually – get people to pay money to see them practice because it's stories like that.
Yeah. So Steph, it's a funny story about this because when I was there, I thought that Kyle Korver, when I was in Chicago, would make like on a great day, 98 out of 100 NBA three-pointers. On a bad day, 91, 92, 93. So everyone on the team deemed it impossible. Wow, you can't do that. There's no way. So Steph Curry, I start seeing him. He's going, he's shooting his 100. He starts clipping off at 81, 83, 85, 87, 85, and he thought it was impossible. I guess the other day, sometime during this season, he clipped off 95. So I'm saying to these guys, it's not that incredible to think a guy like Kyle Korver would do that and a Steph Curry. Now, don't compare the two. Steph Curry can shoot off the dribble with a hand in his face. He can shoot off the catch. He can shoot off the move. Like Korver can just basically shoot off the catch. And you know, he wasn't as complete of a shooter. But everyone thought that it was impossible until now you see Steph doing those things. And I guess he made 77 in a row during that time. I know.
It's insane. It's
like for you making a 1-foot putt.
Yeah.
Like, how many of those can you hit in a
row? None.
Zero?
No, I can't.
No, you're like.
No, I know what you're saying. Like, it's insane. But 77 in a row, that's insane.
I know.
With no one guarding you, I forget about that. Yeah. Like, it's just crazy.
I think it's the focus that's crazy. Like, if I had to shoot 77 layups in a row, I would eventually just get bored and like, right. Oh, man, like, I tricked that one off,
ADD.
You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he's boom. But he's incredible. I mean, his ability, his competitiveness. I was playing on his team in pickup, and we won every game. He never lost a pickup game. We'd be down 9-2, and he'd go on these amazing runs. So this is not abnormal for me. It's a little bit abnormal to see him not trying to get to the basket more, but, hey, I think we'll see some adjustments moving forward.
You and I had a discussion yesterday I wanted to bring up on the podcast. I can't understand why half the general public seems to be so anti-LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about growing up, we grew up in the Jordan era. Everyone just loved Jordan. They just wanted him to win. There didn't seem to be any naysayers with Jordan. They just loved him. You know, even if you weren't a Bulls fan, you're like, God, I just got to respect how great
agree,
this guy is.
Agree.
Now you got LeBron, who in my mind is having maybe one of the greatest finals performances ever.
No, not maybe, yes. So
and
far,
he is.
Yeah.
So I just don't see the same sort of unequivocal love for this guy.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering what your take is on
that. So I think the general public just like makes their snap judgments about the decision or other things like that, or he choked one game against Dallas. this, or, you know, I think that that's what the general public does. We forget that Michael Jordan lost until he finally got there, whatever, right?
Right? Pistons,
but
all that.
I guess as an analyst, I shade towards Michael Jordan is the greatest player ever, and no one ever can get to that point. But you got to, like, look at LeBron as sort of a different animal. I think the social media and how he wants to be liked, I don't think that Jordan cared. I just don't think he cared. I don't think he cared that his teammates didn't like him. So, and maybe LeBron doesn't care. I don't know. But I shade towards being a little hard on LeBron because I think all the analysts just love to talk about how good he is. And I think that LeBron gives them attention if they talk good about him.
Right.
Right? It's like just symbiotic relationship. Please talk good about me and I'll like you.
But you make a good point. Like, it was a different era. So, you know, if the social media era had happened around Jordan,
we don't know.
Maybe there'd be a few more warts shown, right? I mean, obviously, later we realized.
A few more?
Yeah, right?
Whoa, ton more.
Maybe
LeBron lived
different.
A perfect life compared to, well, I mean, none of this is true. We don't know if it's true about Jordan, but, like, LeBron does nothing wrong.
Right.
He makes, like, he does basketball things wrong. And right. So, I mean.
He takes naps in his Kia.
Yeah. You know, like, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, like, so it is totally.
That's
Jordan at Atlantic City at 3 a.m. before he beats the Knicks.
Right.
You know, like, that's going to get caught on social media.
But Jordan wore a Hitler mustache in a Hanes commercial.
Yeah, did he?
Yeah.
That was weird, right?
Yeah, it was a weird stash.
Is no one on the production crew saying, could you?
No, it's MJ.
Yeah.
He's like,
who would you not say something to here? Someone comes in all messed up.
Engineer
and you're like,
Jim, right over there. I would never
Engineer Jim, right, he comes in, you're like, come on, man.
No.
You're saying something to him.
No,
I'm messed up every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want a
fan?
Oh, yeah.
Huge, right.
I bow down. A huge Celtics fan.
Oh, to me as well.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
I told you, man. I don't know what
Dude,
I did.
You're the man. Seriously. I'm a huge, huge Celtics fan.
And Scalabrine.
Of course.
Like, if you had to name 10 Celtics, would I be in the 10? If you said name 10 Celtics.
You'd be in the 20, for sure.
That's good.
That's
good.
That's pretty good for that franchise.
For 12, man.
I'm going back to Havlicek.
No, I know.
Cowan,
but eventually you're going to run out of name to be like Scalabrine.
I'm going to say maybe around 15, maybe.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, can we do rapid fire with you?
Yeah. Are we doing this later today, too?
We're on the TV.
Okay, yeah. Is rapid fire different than the TV?
We've got an intro for rapid fire, too. I've never heard
this. This is Dan's segment. He's very excited about it.
All right, let's do it. Yeah, you are. Look at,
look at the face, right?
What's the
rapid
intro?
Rapid fire.
can we hear that one more time? Sure.
Rapid fire.
I mean, the production value.
Who played that game? What game is that?
It's the
Centipede?
Game of life.
Centipede?
It might have been.
Rapid fire.
Here we go.
Basically, can you explain?
Rapid fire.
Can you explain to me what it is? And who uses a BlackBerry?
Can we start with that? Who uses
just
a BlackBerry?
Just quick questions, and you answer them quick.
One word answers?
Did you ever have problems on the road with beds being too short?
No.
Do you ever regret being so tall growing up?
No.
Best city to play in?
New York.
Did you ever have to pay for a drink in the last 3 months after you won a title in Boston?
No. 3 months only. Now I do.
Oh, you have to now?
Now, yeah.
Worst teammate you ever had?
Why do people continue to ask me that? You're not getting that, by the way. I have a few names, so I won't even begin to lie.
Save it for the book. Yeah. Save it for
no
the book.
Yeah.
Did you ever say, okay, I'm going to have a competitive edge and just eat, like, garlic and not brush your teeth before a game so guys wouldn't want to come near you?
No.
What? Not?
No, it's not like that.
Rajon Rondo, is he uncoachable?
Man, this is a good question, by the way.
It's not rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
Really, really great friend of mine. Yeah. I understand that I'm in the fray. I need this. For me to really guess, I got to get 30,000 feet up. I can't do it. Good friend of mine. I respect the heck out of him.
We're taping this with the Cavs up 2-1. Who wins the NBA title?
Warriors.
Still, you're saying that.
Yeah. So is Vegas.
Yeah.
Rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
What a hit.
You live in Seattle. Does Seattle get an NBA team back?
Eventually? Ever? Or
no,
give me a timeline.
5 years.
5 years? Yes. He was drinking. No rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
Scal, this has been awesome, man. I'm so glad you could make
it. You guys told me the exit would be not as smooth as this.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, that
worked
out.
Maybe
we're
figuring
it
out.
I heard it was going to be like, get the out, Scal.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's kind of
what
that was
good.
Oh,
was good.
I forgot the one question. Do you like the nickname White Mamba or Veal better?
No, White Mamba. Is that the greatest nickname ever?
Yeah. But who actually gave you that nickname?
So I made a pair of Nike ID shoes because, you know, like, I don't have my own shoe, right? So I laid them on the table. Stacey King, I called him. Like, Kobe just came out of his commercial where he jumped over a car. Boom. And like, oh, yeah, chest bump with who's the guy that from Gonzaga? Anyways. And they came out with these shoes, the Black Mamba, the world's most deadliest snake. Whoosh. So anyways, I make the same shoe in white. I call it, oh, yeah, the White Mamba, the world's most dormant snake. As a joke, like, yeah, I like the shoes. I wore them anyway. So, so Stacey King's like, the White Mamba. I like that. I'm going to go with that. He does it on the telecast, and it's just been a worldwide sensation.
Like when you're around in public, are people like Mamba?
Mamba. Mamba.
That's the best.
Yeah. That's nice. Yeah. Hey, will you sign this? Can you sign it to White Mamba? I'm like, yeah, White Mamba.
Are people still calling Matt Bonner the Red Rocket, or is that only in Toronto?
No, by the way, that also is a great nickname because, you know, Bonner.
Oh, like Red Rocket, like penis.
Yes.
Yeah. My erections have returned.
You had to put it all together. But they call him the Red Mamba now. Red Rocket is so much better.
Yeah, Red Rocket's good.
Because his name is Bonner, and it looks like boner.
I don't think that's why it happened, but I like that reason better.
That is
because
why.
The streetcars in Toronto are called the Red Rockets.
And he used to ride them to games when he played.
So they call them the Red. I'm thinking, that's not a good nickname.
Well,
thought he played with a full erection?
No, his name is Bonner. It looks like boner.
One more rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
What, you got a program that?
Did you ever play with an erection?
Ever? No. I wish I had more blood flow down there. But on the bench, looking around, yeah. I mean, have you seen some of these?
And then all of a sudden, coach calls you in. You're like, no, coach, get someone else.
Okay, one more then. Sitting on the bench, who let the stinkiest ones go?
Oh, Big Baby. That's why they called him Funk.
I thought he was just a real funky dude.
No.
So he just would launch him.
I mean, he tried. I mean, it's. And on top of that, you know, we wear spandex, and then we have shorts, and then we have warm-up pants.
Oh, so it's trapped in there.
And it just seeps.
Oh, yeah. It's a slow.
So it's
slow
not
leak.
Like boom, and then it just like dissipates. Yeah. It's like slow. It hangs around for like 5 minutes.
And the people in the first row are just chewing on that.
No, like everyone on the team. Oh, man, what you doing, man? This is crazy.
Big baby.
This is crazy. Okay, now you can get up.
All right. I'm out. See ya.
That was awesome.
See you guys.
Brian Scott, everybody. That was awesome. Thank you, my friend.
What a guy.
We'll see him tonight on Fox Sports Live.
Yeah,
there
the podcast
goes.
Brought to you by Fox Sports Live. Don't forget to watch every night at 11 Eastern. And Fox Sports 1, home to the Women's World Cup, which is certainly
Canada.
On in Canada.
Did you see that we apparently messed up on our broadcast? We called Moncton Vancouver. Ooh.
They're on the opposite sides of the country.
Don't look like each other at all. No. Those two cities. I love those two cities. By
the way, you're probably wondering, why did you guys go to the Russia Olympics, but not the Canadian, the World Cup in your own country?
It's my fault.
Make Jay and Dan happy.
It's my fault because we had the kid. They wanted to send us for the semifinal. I can't go. Now I'm applying for a green card. I can't go.
Thanks a lot.
Can we...
Oh, we got to get to some letters here. This is
Summer of Dan.
Can we do, there's a new intro, Dan, for the mailbag.
Ooh.
You ready?
Yep.
Here it is.
It's time to touch their bag, the Jay and Dan mailbag.
Wow. That was good. Guys, you guys have been busy while we're
here. Yeah, we had to do something while you were out of here.
Oh, yeah. This is production value shooting through the roof on this show. Okay, this one comes from Alex. He says, hey, guys, I just wanted to send you a quick thank you email for helping me to kill at least an hour a week. I'm writing this to you from a small town in Botswana, Africa. where the connection to the outside world is spotty at best. Just to download the pod, I have to steal internet from a priest who's my neighbor here so that I can hear you guys talk about Dan farting at the end of the pod. We all know you did it, Dan. Just fess up. Hope you guys keep up the great work on the pod and that Mike can continue to work on his reading skills. Don't worry, Mike. Just keep practicing. Oh, I had a suggestion for 6 Degrees of Engineer Jim that I was hoping you might be able to ask. For an extremely Canadian theme, Gordon Lightfoot.
Wow.
Sundown, you better take care of something, something, but my back stairs.
I don't know what that was. I don't think I stumped you.
Stumped.
He stumped. Doesn't work with, like, I don't know any producers he's worked with, or, like, I've never known him to.
Records everything in his basement.
Just does it in his, in the bridal path.
What was the.
It's a rare stumpage.
Yeah. Huh.
We might come to you. We'll come back to you.
Okay, we'll come back to you. Ponder that. Here's another one. Can we get back to another one? This is from Brandon Drew. Big fan of the pod. I only subscribe to 2 podcasts. You guys and the Taggart and Torrance pod.
Yeah.
Sorry, Shregs. I just got home from work and noticed
Trigger
the new pod. I noticed the new pod was up. So I decided I might as well cut the grass at the same time. I decided it was a nice day in southwestern Ontario, so I took my shirt off. Now, while I was cutting my front lawn, you guys began to talk about one of my favorite shows, Friday Night Lights. Coincidentally, at the exact same time as you guys were making fun of it, a rather obese woman was walking down my street. One of your lines about 50 reasons to not watch Friday Night Lights made me burst into laughter. And while I was laughing, I noticed the rather large woman give me what appeared to be a death stare. Mm. I think she presumed I was laughing at how big she was, so I wanted to thank you for making me look like a dick. Thanks, guys, and keep making great pods. Brandon.
Thanks, Brandon.
Not too shabby, Brandon.
Can we launch into 6 Degrees of Engineer Jim?
Let's do it. Another intro. We don't have that.
Yeah, we have one for that.
Really?
Do it?
Ooh. Tension. How great
it's from,
was
it's from way back, but
I got the jamming.
Yeah.
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 This is back.
Jamming.
I missed this.
Jamming with Jimmers.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got a few here. John Matthews and also Benton Calder sent this one in. They want to know if Engineer Jim has a connection to Canadian rock legends and members of the Canadian Wall of Fame, Rush.
Oh.
Yeah. I have a good Rush story.
Okay. Yes, good enough.
That's good enough.
When I was in college, I was going to school studying music. And this was like my sophomore year in college. And I went to the Dean of College of Music and convinced him that I wanted to use the university's 12-passenger van to go see a concert of music in Hartford, Connecticut. This was back in Massachusetts.
I'd love to have seen that sales pitch.
Yeah. And I, you know, I was trying to, he didn't know who Rush was, and I was trying to explain to him, oh, you know, they're a progressive rock band, and, you know, trying to play some of the music for the guy to impress him, thinking, oh, hey, you know, this isn't just like some, you know, in-your-face punk band kind of thing or whatever. In any event, the guy said, yes, you can take the van.
Wow.
Sweet.
So it was awesome. So, of course, we got a keg of beer. And me and my buddy Wild Bill got a bunch of friends and a bunch of gals, and we all headed down to Hartford, Connecticut, and had a great time. They didn't get the van back for 2 days.
Oh, and how must it have smelled when they got it back?
It probably had an inch and a half of beer on the floor,
sure.
The entire floor. Like, you know, your feet just stuck to the floor. It was great.
I love that.
Yeah.
The other suggestion is from Justin Canning. Wants to know if you have a connection to James Taylor.
Mm. Yes.
Yes. There we go.
When I first moved to Los Angeles in the mid-80s, the very first live concert I did was a live simulcast for UNICEF, and Graham Nash does it pretty much every year. And I did a concert that we did
ping-ponging with a concert that was done at the World Trade Center. We were at the Roxy on Sunset, and I did Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Wow.
James Taylor.
What?
Los Lobos, Robert Cray, and Jackson Brown.
Whoa!
That's a concert.
Wow. And that was a great show.
So if that was in the 80s, that's when Taylor was still on drugs and everything.
I don't know if he was on drugs.
Had he kicked it by
then? I was, but I don't know about that. No, it was unbelievable. And it was kind of like a friends and family thing because it was really just for radio. And it was my first time working with Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And since then, you know, we've done records together and, you know, we're like family friends and all that stuff. And it's where I met my buddy Hoover that I do all the recordings and stuff with.
We got to talk about
it was really
Crosby,
cool.
Stills, and Nash.
Is it true Neil Young won't work with them anymore?
Well, he won't work with Crosby because Crosby said something about Daryl Hannah being a, I don't know, predator, yeah, shark. I don't know. It's a long story.
Yeah.
You know, I think those guys fall out and get back together
I have to say one thing. You know, Stephen Stills is just an unbelievable musician. Whenever he gets around Neil, it's like all of a sudden he becomes this. It's like multiplies by 100. He becomes this god of a musician. It's unbelievable. It's like... I guess you'd liken it to a guy who, you know, plays the regular season and just kind of is in there playing
right.
it. And then when, you know,
when
the playoffs come, he just turns it on.
He's like Claude Lemieux.
Yeah, and Steven is totally that way. Huh. Whenever Neil's around, it's like, wow,
okay,
who's that guy?
We have to get more into that. We only have 5 minutes, though. So two things. We got to call Tagger. But
actually, three things. Go ahead.
Three things? Okay, mm-hmm. I just wanted to do this Guy Boutelier, Bill Murray, Jimmy from South Park thing. Can we do this? Really
so, Guy Boutelier appeared on my VHS tapes from Fort McMurray when I did some Shaw cable stuff, and I don't even know what this is, but I guess
basically, several people, Corey Moeller, a listener named Corey Moeller, pointed out that Guy sounds like Jimmy from South Park and like Bill Murray. So maybe we start with, what are we starting with here, Pat?
Hope Guy's not watching.
Guy. We're starting with Guy. Okay, here we go.
Hi, I'm Guy Boutelier, MLA for Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo. On behalf of Gail and our son Mark, we want to take this opportunity to wish you and your family the very best over the holiday season.
Look at that. Happy family.
This past year has been a very busy year, and I'd like to thank you for being so involved in the many organizations such as the United Way, Santa's Anonymous, and the Food Bank Drive. Thank you for
being
so involved. Okay, so now. Next is Bill Murray from Caddyshack.
Oh,
does
no.
he sound like Bill Murray from Caddyshack? That's a question.
Crane, I'm looking at you.
Oh.
You could hide. I don't blame you. You're a tramp. Oh, that was a good one. Oh, that was right where you wanted it. Oh, Mrs. Crane, you're a little monkey woman, you know that? You're a little monkey woman. You're lean and you're mean and you're not too far between either, are you, huh? Would you like to wrap your spikes around my head?
All right. And then can we get Jimmy from South Park for a final?
Didn't Bill Murray ad-lib everything?
I think pretty much ad-libbed all his lines.
Jimmy, will you go talk to Wendy for me?
For
what? Just go talk to her and be poetic. Tell her she's my muse.
Poor
no,
Guy's
tell
never
her,
gonna talk
tell
to
her
me again.
She's a continuing source of inspiration to me. She's what? She's a continuing source of inspiration to me. Okay. Hey, Wendy. Stan says you're a cunt. You're a continuing source of inspiration to him.
Oh, that was Guy.
Guy
Boutelier, one of the best in the biz.
Handle. From our family to yours, we want to take this opportunity to say Merry Christmas.
I'm never allowed back in Fort McMurray.
Be full
Thanks
of
lot,
good
guys.
Health, happiness, and hope.
You can just blame it on Corey Moeller.
Yeah, Corey,
thanks, Corey
Moeller.
What were the other things?
Before we get to Tagger, or while we call Tagger, we have some friends of the podcast with some very special baby messages.
Oh,
Jay and Shobi, this is Julie Stewart Banks here. Just want to congratulate you so much on the birth of your daughter, and I'm very excited for you to take her to our native homeland, Canada. Maybe the first time, or maybe down the road. Make sure you introduce her to some of the hot spots like the Pal and your favorite, the rail, Jay.
Never.
You know, maybe give her some tips on how to make a couple bucks.
Oh, come
later on,
Big
in life. We all know Toolsy wouldn't shy away from that.
Hey, Jay, your friend Peter Schrager here. Congratulations. There's only one thing better, and there's only one thing more rewarding than fatherhood, and that's playoff hockey. You know, that's what it is. I think playoff hockey is probably the only thing better than being a new dad. And if it's not playoff hockey, it's Doc Emrick calling playoff hockey. I don't know if you're aware, but this guy can call a hell of a hockey game. And if you didn't know about it, overtime hockey is really great, too. And if you didn't know that, double overtime hockey is even better, and triple overtime hockey is even better than that. So that's five things, according to Twitter, I believe, every night as I'm watching hockey, that is better than fatherhood. You know, I got to say, I'm so happy for you. But I'm also happy for your wife for putting up with you and putting up with all of us. So congratulations. Hashtag sports. Hashtag fatherhood. Nothing beats playoff hockey. It's the best thing in the world. And right behind that is being a new dad. My guess for your child's name, I'm assuming it's a girl. There's no way there can be a son coming out of you. I'm going to guess it's a girl, and I think her name should be Marty Turco. I think that is the perfect name. Marty Turco Onright. Marty, M-A-R-R-T-I-E-Y, Marty Turco Onright. Congratulations, Dad.
One more.
Congratulations, Jay and Chobi. You're about to enter the world, the reality, the real life, with kids, the whole point of being. And I can't wait to talk to you about the problems of having kids in terms of poop and pee and all the fun stuff. It makes it a lot easier when there's diapers involved. I'm sure that this will give Jay plenty of stories to talk about. I'm going to guess the names here, and I'm going to be, if it's a girl, I'm going to say they're going to call her Linda, and if it's a guy, I'm going to say they're going to call him Larry.
So Linda or Larry?
Would have been, favorite been people Larry. In the world having a baby. Don't make it Los Angeles, baby. Keep it Canadian.
Yeah. Jeremy Taggart.
That's Taggart. And I think we might have Taggart on the line now.
I'm surprised you didn't bring up the baby's first poop.
I'll save that for next week.
Sometimes when I wipe, I'll wipe and I'll wipe and I'll wipe and I'll wipe 100 times. Still poop.
Let me check that.
It's like I'm wiping a marker or something. Still poop.
That's from Community, isn't it?
Parks and Rec. Yeah.
Parks and Rec, sorry, yeah.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, I'll get to the first poop next week. But first, let's get to Jeremy Taggart.
Taggart, we just heard your baby message.
Thank you, my friend. And it is Linda. Linda Onright.
I love Linda. She'll That's be the best waitress ever to walk the earth.
Oh, yeah.
See, again, I always bring up, we got to start bringing those names back.
Like what? The old Olga. Classic. Right.
Linda.
Helen.
Cap.
Cap?
Rube. Like the old classic names. You don't remember? Cy.
Cy, yes.
Yeah, you know, Cy, like, would be good.
Old baseball name.
Yeah.
Miller.
Yeah.
My buddy Miller came over.
Honus. Honus.
Hoyt. Yeah, my boy Hoyt Wilhelm.
We always get
my boy Rube Waddell and I were playing poker the other night.
We always get those stats pop up in highlight packs where it's like, it's the first time since Gus McGinney did it in 1905. You're like, most of the times you're like, they're just making these names up. I've never heard of this human in my life.
How about the Hack? Hack Wilson. Remember that name?
That's a nickname. Come on.
Well, just to be called Hack is just like known as Hack. I had a game used Hack Wilson bat. Remember he had 190 RBIs, still never been broken in a year?
He was on roids.
Yeah. He was 5'6", that guy. And the bat that he had was like a club that was a little tiny pin at one end.
It was a cricket bat.
And a huge berth on the other end. Baseball players were bad ma beepers back in the day.
Hell yeah.
Hey, Ty Cobb, the worst.
Play ball! Ooh, well, I mean, the worst, but the guy would, like, sure, Ty Cobb was, like, a nasty, but, like, for baseball, to be good at something, you know, to have an average like that, after, you know, 340 or whatever it is after his whole career, 28 seasons, and then he would apparently wear, like, snowshoes with, like, lead weights and stuff over the winter to keep his legs going. Like, just nuts. These guys were crazy back then.
See how he does against current Major League pitching.
Yeah. He was also, like, a big shareholder in Coca-Cola and Ford.
Who, Ty Cobb was?
More money than most owners.
Wow. Smart.
Jeremy, I ran into another Canadian rock legend when I was in Peterborough at Spanky's, the lead singer for I Mother Earth.
Oh, nice.
Wait,
Brian.
Which one? Brian Byrne?
Yes, Brian Byrne.
Okay, the second one.
The second lead singer.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of tats.
Well, the second and current, the singer from I Mother Earth. Edwin was the previous.
Until Edwin went on his solo career.
Yes, and then he went to Edwin and the Pressure.
Really?
Remember that was the name of the band when they came out?
I vaguely do remember that. Yeah, Brian Byrne, I believe, is an actual tattoo artist.
Well, that would make sense.
Yes. Yes, he's an owner of tattoo parlors, and he can give mad tattoos. He's also one of the sweetest men that walks the earth. Like, he's very inspirational guy. He cares about people like nobody's business.
He's a nice guy.
Jeremy, do you have any tats? I don't think you do.
I do. I got a couple. I got a seven. I got a seven on the left arm. I got a Scottish rampart lion on the right arm. With me and my brothers have that.
What if family? Tagger, what if everyone here who's been involved with the podcast, long time involved with the podcast, we all agreed to a tattoo and we all went to Brian Byrne and he tatted us up and we did a pod as we're getting tatted up.
Yes, I think we would have to have like why not a or something put on our back.
Or just a big toilet.
A toilet, yes.
Or just an affliction across our shoulder blades.
Affliction across the back.
Or the triple X logo.
How many people committed to that affliction?
My neck.
I'm not even kidding. How many people on this earth have an affliction tattoo that says affliction? I'm saying minimum 200,000.
Oh, my God.
I'm not even kidding. Over-under is 200,000. Jeremy, your take.
Is that like the go-to on the craft tour? Was that what you were talking about?
No, that's just the douchebag tat. You're like, I'm committed. I'm going to affliction.
You've seen this a few times. Where have you seen this so much?
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen a single one. I'm just guessing here.
200,000. The search for the affliction tattoo.
So if you have an affliction tattoo, don't be ashamed. Send it to us on Twitter. Send us at Jay and Dan Paul.
The Bug Life was the 90s tattoo and then affliction.
No, what about the, my buddy actually has the,
barbed wire.
Oh, the barbed wire.
Oh, the barbed wire, that's tough.
Let's just get it.
Like, yeah, episode 100.
So you were a bouncer at O'Grady's? Yeah. Or... you know, like, that's like the ultimate, like, remember that? Like, when you're walking in territory with Pamela Anderson's, you know, movies, that's where that was popular that she had to use it as a shtick that didn't even sell.
I was handed a cassette here by Mike. Where did this come from?
Specifically, a cassette single, Jeremy.
Our Lady Peace Happiness, album in stores Tuesday, September 28th, 1999, and a man is holding a fish.
It's the cassette single for Is Anybody Home?
Oh, nice.
And it's sealed. It's not open yet.
Where did you get this?
Handsome Andy.
Handsome Andy
brought this.
He found it.
At home, yeah. Original packaging.
Pristine.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's a good jam. That was a good time.
Did you meet the guy holding the fish on the cover?
Saul Fox, you mean? Like, that guy was on the first few album covers, yes.
Wait, he
passed away since then.
Oh, wow. Really?
That guy used to bang Ayn Rand.
Wait, what?
How about that?
The fountainhead out of his penis. His penis was the fountainhead.
He put the bell end in the fountainhead.
Wow. That is crazy.
Yeah, he's like, well, we were doing like a photo shoot for that exact thing, the Fish album, the Happiness record, and he's like, yeah, Ayn Rand. I used to hang out with her back in the 60s. Like, come into New York and pound on her.
Mike just randomly brings it up. Like, was someone reading Atlas Shrugged? And he's like, oh, that book.
I'm back in town, babe. You know, he's like,
how's
all
your
like,
butt
all,
going?
You know, he was like the Canadian muscle kid back in the day, probably for her, right?
Oh, and by God. The way, is anyone using this fish when we're done with it?
Greasy. Nice kill, nice kill, O'Toole.
Because I'm sitting staring at the fish.
You know, that, like, remember that movie, William H. Macy, The Cooler? You just cooled that joke.
Dan O'Toole.
Jeremy, I am good at that. Assassin. We haven't heard from Gino Retta in forever.
Yeah, we got to bring
Gino Retta. Yeah, what is he doing right now?
He's hosting That's Hockey.
He's getting ready for holidays.
By the way, I wanted to bring this up. Bob McKenzie inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. He's been on the podcast several times.
I would say long.
Spectacular. Ago. He does not talk to me. He will walk by.
What?
Why?
Well, I think I've never met him. I'm saying.
You just got to introduce yourself. He's a wonderful guy.
He is. I'm sure he is. I'm sure he'd be swell.
Except,
I don't know. I've never met him. I don't want to. Now I don't want to cast some awful thing he hates me.
No,
I'm just saying. Never met the guy. I love him.
He loves tunes too. He's a huge music fan too. Loves his cottage that Tools he'll never get invited to ever.
Well, yeah,
what's that cottage like?
He, by his own admission, said his cottage is much nicer than his own house.
That's how you got to do
it. He'll, like, fire out the odd, that one photo a year of a glass of wine on the water.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh,
he always, that's right. Just before, like, the draft, he'll be like, just one more gig, and then here's where I'll be for 2 months.
And then some Jack Watt will tweet, I don't want to hear about wine, I want to hear about hockey.
Yeah, Bob.
Yeah, and then he'll have, like, some insider information that will make you feel sick. It's so inside.
Like the dude banging Ayn Rand.
Yes. Yes. He's like, Eric Lindros is with Connor McDavid talking about Edmonton right now.
What beach was this on?
What beach? Oh, I was in New York City. It was, I believe, in the Hamptons or something.
Ah, that looks like the Hamptons. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you just picked that out, eh? Are you?
Yeah. Have you ever been to the Hamptons?
I have stayed in a house on a week in the Hamptons.
Okay.
That's where Webby lives.
He lives in the Hamptons?
What tools he's on the wheel this week, eh? He's just asking for it.
Toolsy's, it's been the summer of Dan.
It's the summer of Dan.
Can we hear rapid fire? Can we hear rapid fire?
Last couple weeks. Hey, Jay.
Oh, yeah?
How's daddiness?
It's pretty good, bud.
Yeah?
It's pretty good. I'm having a good time. Changing lots of diapers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cleaning the cheese out. You got to get the cheese out of the folds.
Hey,
you know
man.
What I mean?
Yeah. You got to make sure that thing is sparkling and whistling clean all day.
Still poop.
Never a problem. Keep it clean, bud.
I will, bud.
That's a motto in life.
Hey, can we first, we want to play this rapid fire thing. We're just going nuts over.
Rapid fire.
Pat's just going ape on all this stuff.
Pat's also been off for
a bit. Botticello's.
Botticello.
Oh, and Jim. Is it?
It's the Mike and Jim collab, yeah.
Unbelievable, guys.
Okay, credit where credit's due. Mike and Jim firing off with these new bits.
Yeah, baby.
Rapid fire.
That explains the accelerated reverb.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, baby.
That sounds like a Jimi Hendrix bad trip. Okay, let's hit it.
Rapid.
Tiger loves it.
Tiger, thanks for coming on as always, buddy.
What do you mean there's no rapid fire?
We just wanted you to hear it.
Hey, we got this rapid fire thing, and it's just bad.
But here's the thing, Jeremy. I'm not even kidding. Every one of my rapid fire questions would be about this guy holding the fish.
And it would just be about the fish. No,
how long was the fish? Did it start to smell? Did anyone eat the fish when it was over? Did you guys
That's
stay
incredible.
In the Hamptons?
Rapid fire.
What's that big whistle at the end?
Lasers.
Things are going bad right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Tiger, we love you. And, hey, TSN Radio, News Talk 1010, you're all over the freaking radio.
Yeah, the TNT's now on Thursday nights at 10 to 12, Taggart and Torrens, and I'm also been filling in for the Matt Go and Cause show this week. So we're wrestling in the Bell Media.
I love it, bud. I love it. Have a great week, and we'll chat with you soon, my friend.
Okay, love you guys. See you soon.
Love you, buddy.
Bye. Jeremy Taggart, you can follow him on Twitter at Taggart7. You can also follow the Jay and Dan podcast on Twitter and Instagram, Jay and Dan Pod. Scalabrini's on Twitter.
Jay and Dan on Instagram.
Just Jay and Dan on Instagram.
Okay.
And if anybody knows who has just Jay and Dan on Twitter,
yeah, let us know.
Tell us.
Or just contact us if you have it. We're trying to get a hold of the people who have that. We're really trying.
Engineer Jim is at engineer_Jim. Pat's at Pat Meldowney. Micklehouse, Mike's at Micklehouse. Scal's at Scalabrini. I'm at FS102. Jay's at Jay Onright.
Also don't forget about Fox Sports Live every night. 11 Eastern.
And follow them on Instagram at Fox Sports Live.
Nope, not
Fox
there.
Sports 1.
Fox Sports 1.
Really?
Yeah. Why doesn't Fox Sports Live have an Instagram?
Well, it would be all the same pictures.
Okay.
All right, we'll make one.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. Wow, we're really prepared for that segment.
My erections have returned.
How about rapid fire again?
Rapid fire.
Yeah, baby!
Great to be back. Thanks for coming back. It was a nice break, but we're here for good now. We are not allowed any more time off until after the All-Star break in baseball. Then send more mail.
We want to touch
the
bag.
I would say we want to do Touch My Bag a little bit more, but I would say your chances of getting on Touch My Bag increase if you keep those emails super short. And I'm talking two sentences. You have a question for one of the guys.
Or a 6 degrees of engineer
Or a 6 degrees of engineer Jim. Keep them short, and they'll get on the pod. There you go.
No wonder you guys are always so busy on the computer.
Can we hear the mailbag one more time?
It's time to touch their bag, the Jay and Dan mailbag.
Hi, everyone.
See you next week.
Elvis has just left the building.
So long, my time here is up.
They're going home.
My erections have returned.
And I thought, my God, the genius of that.